Oh, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3.
He's a wonder.
And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my Father. Once again, what an honor, what a privilege it is, Lord, to be able to come with all the people, Father, who are tuning in to this radio broadcast today, Lord, all the listeners, Father, all of us that come together and go into your presence, my Father God. Not just to sit and hear word, Lord, but to go into your presence and hear that word, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you for the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But, Father, there's a more sure word than that that we get from one another and that we administer to each other. But there's a more sure word than that. And that's a word from you, Lord. Hallelujah. So we thank you, my Father, for this precious opportunity that in this broadcast, you are summoning your people and inviting your people all the way into your very presence, my Father. Hallelujah. Because everything that you are doing in the earth is a means to that end, to reconcile us back to yourself. So as we come through the gates of Thanksgiving, we say thank you for the precious opportunity and all that you've done for us through your Son. We give you praise and glory and honor, for you're so worthy, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for the radio broadcast, our church services, our ceremonies, our program we put on. We thank you to be come through that, and we thank you for that. All the way behind the veil into your presence, just like you said in your word, that we can come boldly all the way to your throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So we thank you for this invitation, Father, and we take you up on it. So here we are, Father, in your presence. Here's our lives. Here's our cup, the cup of our life. Fill it up and make us whole, Lord. And as always, Lord, we are careful to give you all the credit, all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise for what you are doing in the earth today. And to you be the glory for it. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Now speak to our hearts through your words of love and comfort, my Father. And redeem us, rebuke us, correct us, chastise us, whatever you have to do. As long as you don't ever take your Holy Spirit away from us. The Holy Spirit is you that's in the earth today. You're the most important person in the earth today. And we humble ourselves and yield ourselves under your mighty hand and the ministry that God has sent you in the earth to do. And that's to lead and guide us into the truths, the reality of God's plan and purpose and destiny for our lives. So we yield ourselves to you and we say, you take control now. And you lead us and you bring us in remembrance of everything that Jesus Christ has taught us. And again, we're careful to give you all, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, all of the credit, all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus. Holy Ghost, have your way. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. Hallelujah. What an honor, what a privilege, like I said, Lord, to come together with y'all. You know, that's the most exciting part about it, you know. is, hey, listen, I don't go by myself, but I get to go with all the people that's under the sound of my voice. Where are, where are we going? All the way into the presence of the Most High God. And listen, that's what God is summoning you to. That's what God, man, listen, that's God's greatest desire for your life. Right. Is that, boy, you dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. That you dwell there. Not only come there, but stay there. And begin to live your life, man, from there. Can you imagine living your life, boy, in the presence of the Most High God? Well, that's what this kingdom life is all about. That's the life that Jesus Christ came and displayed on the earth. Wouldn't he ruling and reigning in earth? Wouldn't he ruling and reigning over circumstances, situations, and symptoms? And he wasn't ruling and reigning as a prime minister or a president or a governor or a mayor. No, he was ruling and reigning as a king. A king. That's sovereign reign. That's complete rule. Hallelujah. And he kind of reigning as a king. That's what he did. What he was displaying, he was displaying kingdom life. You know why he was able to display that kingdom life? Because he was full of the Holy Spirit. What do you mean full of the Holy Spirit, boy? He had the divine connection between heaven and earth and a divine connection between God and him. He was connected to God and he was connected to him. Hallelujah. He was in God and God was in him. He was in heaven and heaven was in him. And he came to this earth, boy, ruling and reigning, man, and to bring back that sovereign reign back to the earth and restore it back to humanity. What that is, man, that kingdom life, that's living in the presence of the Most High God. See, when you live in the presence of the Most High God, you begin to reign in life. You, instead of life dictating to us, we'll flip the script and we'll begin to dictate to life. Just like Jesus did. He dictated the law. He told the wind and the storm to be still, and they hushed up and shut up and calmed down. He spoke to sickness and disease, man, and they left people bodily. He spoke to demons and devils, boy, and they fled as in terror. Hallelujah. He preached a message to the people, man, and it transformed their lives, man. It transformed them from a religious organization, boy, into a relation. Organization. He changed, boy, like I told you, sickness into health, poverty into wealth, death into life. What he was doing, he was ruling and reigning. And again, what enabled him to do that? Because he was dwelling in the presence of the Most High God. Always. He was always conscious that his Father was with him and that he was with his Father. And boy, that's what God wants for you and I, to be just like that. To take out, to have the mind of Christ. To think just like that. He was always with the Father, and the Father always with us. Can you imagine that? Well, listen, because of the love of God and everything that he's done for us through his Son, Jesus Christ, hey, baby, that place has been made available to us. Well, you got to come. Even though the place is made available to us, hey, it don't just happen in our lives. You got to man. You got to come. And you got to come past the gates of Thanksgiving, past the courts of praise, past the church services, past our fellowship and everything else, all the way into that place where you are conscious. Little by little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept, until you become fully persuaded, fully conscious that, boy, he's always with you, that you're in that place. And that you can dwell in that place and live in that place, because that place has been made available to you. That place has been brought back to you, and that place has been restored back to us. But again, we got to come. All he's going to do is give us the invitation. Hallelujah. Now, people can get a lot of invitations, but that don't necessarily mean they're going to go to where they're invited to. Hey, the ball is in our court now. He's been telling us over and over and over. Ever since I'm talking about, boy, I know we've been on here 3, 4, 5 years, to the last 4, 5 years, man, that place is available. The question is, man, you know, how many men going to come and how many have came? Because the ball is in our court now. The invitation has been given over and over and over and over and over again. And whether you attend the invitation, whether you attend to whatever the invitation is calling you to and inviting you to, that's on you. Listen, this is an invitation like this. The Bible said it this way. The kingdom, this kingdom life and the kingdom of heaven is like a great king gave a banquet for his son. And he went out and told the man, go out and invite, man, you know, people to come in. Right, this is a king giving a banquet for his son. Hallelujah. Can you imagine that, boy? I'm talking about a kingdom banquet. That's orchestrated, man, by a great king. That's giving a celebration, man, and a feast, man, for his son. And, boy, he wants everybody to come, man, to the celebration. He wants everybody to come to that place. And where that's in the presence of the king and in the presence of his son, feasting at the king's table, man, and dwelling in that place, man, forevermore. Not only is it an invitation to come, it's an invitation to stay there, to dwell there, to live there. In that kingdom environment, in that kingdom lifestyle, what? In the king's presence, man, feasting at the king's table, eating the king's food. What you mean, boy? Eating, man, I'm talking about coming into, boy, God's presence, man, and the presence of his son, Jesus Christ, man, as we are drawn there by the Holy Spirit and eat, man, from the king's table. What you mean, eat from the king's table? Hear God speak to you himself, yourself. You hear. You don't just hear, man, the word that they speak to us through the fivefold ministry, but you hear the voice behind that word. Hallelujah. You hear what he say to you about what we be saying. Because what we be saying, boy, yeah, we speaking for God. But, boy, when you hear what he say but he, yourself, that's God speaking to you himself. And that's what he wants. That's why he gave men the church, the fivefold ministry, to edify the saints, man, so that they could come to the knowledge of it. So they got a work to do, too, boy. Because when you dwell in that place right there and come out of that place right there, and you do like Jesus did, well, you begin, like I said earlier, you begin to reign in life from that place. Instead of life ruling and reigning over us, we begin to rule and reign over life from that place. We begin to dictate. We begin to have dominion, sovereignty, and power and control and influence, what, over every circumstance, situation, and symptom in our life. Instead of it influencing and dictating to us, we flip the script. Instead of just accepting it, the status quo, and just, man, living life, man, serving God from the wilderness, you live life serving God, man, from that promised land that he saved the children out of Egypt, man, for. He ain't saved them out of Egypt for them to die in the wilderness. He saved them out of Egypt for them to come through the wilderness, learn of him, worship him, fellowship with him, grow in him, and get renewed in their minds because they got slavery mentality. So, and they want, so that way, come into the presence of the Lord. He's going to be with you. That's what he told Moses. He said, tell him, I'm going to be with them. In fact, one time, man, he wanted to speak to them himself. He wanted to speak to them through Moses. He told Moses, tell all the people, man, to clean up everything, wash their clothes and everything else, and come to this mountain, man, that God has specified. And I want to speak to them myself. I'm going to be their king. I don't want no go-between. You know, I want to talk to them myself. And boy, God, they did. Moses told the people, and people cleaned themselves up. And then when God and they came, they put a rope around them. Mountain, a barrier around there so that the people don't get too close. And then God began to descend down, boy, to begin to thunder and lightning, and the mountain began to shake. And the people, man, got scared and they ran into their tents. They zipped their tents back up. There was nobody on the mountain but Moses. So God began, hey, Micah, they was afraid. And they couldn't, nobody, they couldn't understand it. And that's, you know, that's understandable. They've been trained and conditioned to live like slaves and under hard taskmasters, you know. And it seemed like a God had forgotten them. And they didn't know him. And they didn't know of his nature and everything else. They didn't know that. And, boy, when he began to descend and come down, man, his presence began to come among them, man, they lifestyle and their nature could wasn't conducive to that. So they got scared and they ran. They ran from the voice of God. Yeah, you know, but then God said, that's all right, you know, because there's going to come a time when they're going to be running to the voice of God. So Moses, for this is not my perfect will. My perfect will is for me to talk to them myself. But since they're in the condition that they are spiritually dead and separated from me, they don't understand why they run and hide and scared. Why? Because they're born in sin and Satan in it. So I'll speak to them through you, Moses. You'll be my priest. And I'll speak to them through you. Now we develop the ministry of God, man, to his people. And on down to where we are here now, the fivefold ministry. But God originally came was to talk to you himself. Listen, he wasn't going through nobody, man, when he was walking and talking with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden, the presence of the Lord. He was talking to them himself. And boy, when he talked to you himself, man, hallelujah. Then boy, you come with power then. You have power then. Especially boy, when it become more, when you become baptized in the word he say. What you mean baptized? When what he say to you become, man, one with you. When you be washed in it. When your conscious man be sprinkled from a sin conscience to a righteous conscience, by the being baptized, boy, how about the washing of the water by the word? What are he gonna baptize us with? With his word. What baptized mean? To submerge in water for cleansing purpose. How he gonna cleanse us from that sinful nature and sinful conscious man into a holy nature and a righteous nature and a holy people? To the baptism and then of the Holy Ghost. What the Holy Ghost gonna baptize us with? The Word of God. Hallelujah. What Word of God? That we hear through mankind, he can use that too, but boy, he got a more sure word. That's when God speak to you himself. That's why you know the purpose for you tuning in to this radio broadcast is to help you, man, develop a personal relationship with God. Thank God for the corporate relationships that we have when we fellowship with one another and our church service and the good time that we have and that we feel the spirit and all that and be inspired, you know, by the word of God and you feel something and all that. That's good and everything else. That's in the corporate relationship. But I'm talking about something far greater than that. What's that, brother? I'm talking about a personal relationship. That's one-on-one. Can you imagine that? You and your father in heaven, man, got a one-on-one relationship. You know him. I ain't say know of him or know about him. I say know him. Know him. Why? Because you fellowship with him. You commune with him. You walk and talk with him. Through the cool of the day, through the heat of the day, through the calmness of the day, through the storm of the day, no matter what's going on in the day, boy, in that place right there, everything all right, because it's a day that the Lord has made. And it don't matter what's going on in it, man. If it's Lord made it, the Bible saying that after each day, the Lord said, and it was good. And in that place, boy, you dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God, that's a day that the Lord has made. So it don't matter what's going on around us. Hallelujah. Why, boy? Because, boy, when you come to that place right there, you come to a place where there's some that where joy begin to take place in your heart and in your life. What joy? The joy of the Lord. See, most people just want to be happy, you know, but happiness depends on happenings. And sometimes, man, things in our lives happen or happenings happen in our lives, man, that don't get that. And I mean, it don't bring about happiness. In fact, it bring about heartache and pain and sorrow and sadness in a lot of cases. But that's the happenings is in our lives. And boy, like I say, they're not always favorable to bring about happiness. But I'm talking about, boy, something that supersedes happiness. What's that? That's joy. Hallelujah. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. What kind of joy is that, boy? That's the joy of the Lord. Well, it don't matter what's going on around you. It don't matter what the happenings are, boy. You have something, man, or you'll know something, boy. You'll know that everything is all right. Where the joy is? In his presence, his fullness of joy. Where that kind of joy is? That's in his presence. So as you dwell in his presence, man, you know, listen, boy, your life become, boy, not just a happy life, but a joyful life. Hallelujah. What are a joyful life? And in a joyful life, it don't matter what's going on around you, boy, you would know something, boy, that everything is all right. Because let me tell you something, in the presence of the Lord, everything is all right. All we got to do is become more and more conscious, man. In fact, first you got to come to know to receive the invitation. And not only receive the invitation, first you got to hear about the invitation. Then after you hear about the invitation, then you got to receive the invitation. And then after receiving the invitation, then you got to attend the banquet that the king is giving for his son. You got to come on into his presence. The invitation is to come to his presence. And in his presence, there's going to be a banquet, boy, like being in a banquet, a great feast, a great time, a party. A great life where there's fun and laughter and everything else. That's the Bible says that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. Because in that place right there, boy, that banquet right there, man, everything all right. Because you're in the presence of the king. You're in the presence of his son. You're in the presence of all those who have attended. And boy, all they're doing is having a great feast and a great ball and a great time. Why is that, boy? Because they're in the presence of the king and his son. So they rejoice in them for taking of their joy from that place. Hallelujah. Then, boy, so it's not enough, man, to hear about the invitation. It's not enough to receive the invitation. Now you got to attend, man, like I say, you got to attend the celebration. You got to come on into what's the invitation? Come on back into my presence. So what you got to do, you got to first hear that that's available to you. Then you got to grab a hold to it. You got to receive the invitation. And then you got to attend, man. Come on back into his presence. Of course, we're going to get into that later. That's a protocol. That's a proper procedure in order to do that. But you got to first come to find out that you can come. And then once you make the decision, man, to attend, then you start adorning yourself. You start preparing yourself. You don't just go no any kind of way. You start preparing yourself. Why? Because you didn't make the choice, man, to go to the banquet. So you start preparing yourself. Like I say, that's a protocol. You don't just go in. You don't get to skip the thing and say, okay, I'm going. Yeah, that's up and go. No, well, you start cleaning yourself up. You take a bath. You put on good clothes. Man, you put on your cologne or your perfume, man. Why? A protocol. You don't attend a feast like that, man, you know. No, any kind of way. Same thing, you can't even know the invitation there. You can't go into his presence no any kind of way. You got to understand the protocol. Sometimes you got to do in order to do that, to get there. I mean, to enter into that place. But just like we know church protocol, then we need to know kingdom protocol too. How to approach a king. How to come into the presence of a king. How to come to that place, how to adorn yourself, how to prepare yourself for that. Boy, when you prepare yourself for that, baby, and you look at your best and feeling your best and smelling your best, and maybe you come on in that, man, feeling good, looking good, feeling good, acting good, walking good, talking good with your head held up, baby. Why? Because you are all that. Why? Because you have adorned yourself for that. You've gone through the protocol. Why are you saying that, Arthur? Because I want to let you know that even though the invitation is there and everything else, and we can come on into it, then, man, that done, you just, you know, then that's when we start learning, man, you know, the principles of how to live in that. That's when we start learning the laws that governs that place. Not the law that governs the children of Israel out in the wilderness that God gave to Moses. But the law that govern man, the kingdom of heaven, that God gave to mankind in Adam, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Those are some original laws in there. They far supersede the laws of Moses. Only reason why God had to give the people the law of Moses because the people had broke man the law of Adam, of mankind. If Adam never would have disobeyed, man, the law of life, man, and gave God power to kill, then, man, we never would have had no need for the Mosaic law. The whole purpose for the Mosaic law because mankind fail me in the original law, the law that God gave Adam in the garden, for being my image and being my likeness and have dominion over this earth. That's a law. That's what God said. Don't eat out the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's a law. They call it a law of sin and death. If you eat off that tree, you're going to die, you know. That's a law. In other words, man, don't eat off no other word but my word. Don't listen to, man, what nobody else say but what I say. Why? Because that's a law, too. What? That's a law of life. What? And God said. And when he says something, baby, you can take that to the bank. That's a law of life. Hallelujah. What he said, let's make man in our image and our likeness. That's what he said. That's a law of life. There ain't a devil in hell, nothing he do, or everything else, separation from, even though he separated mankind from God, that ain't going to stop man going from accomplishing that, what he said. Well, let's make him in our image and our likeness, and let's give them dominion. And then God planted a little garden in Eden, man, where we know as the Garden of Eden, or the Promised Land, or the presence of the Lord, or the kingdom of heaven. In other words, let me say it simple. He set up a little carbon copy of heaven on earth. That's what he planned. And that's what he placed mankind in. Why? Why? Because in that kind of, in that atmosphere, in that environment, then that's where he can dwell at. That's where he dwell at, who your source, your sustainer in that environment. Why? So that he could dwell in that environment. And he placed mankind in that environment for what purpose? So that he can dwell with mankind in that environment. That's the only environment he dwell in. So he planted that environment on the earth. We know it at the Garden of Eden, the presence of the Lord. And there he placed us in. So we call it. So boy, we were designed to live from there, from the very beginning. Even before then, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, it says, thanks be unto God who chose us before the foundation of the world. Who chose us what? In him. Even before the foundation of the world. And look what he chose. He chose that we should be just like him. That's what holy means. He chose that we should be holy and without blame, no condemnation, covered in his love. When he chose that, before the foundation of the world. Let me say that simple. He chose that we would be just like him and living just like him, functioning just like him, without blame, covered in love, loving all God and loving man one another forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. In heaven, on earth. That's what he chose, and that's what he decided, and that's what his plan was, that's what his original idea was, even before the foundation of the world, even before it began to be manifested. That was his original intent. And then when he started speaking it, what his intent was, and his original idea was, when he began to speak it, then baby, it began to be manifested. What's there when he began to speak? That's the word of life. That's the law of life that's in God. Hallelujah. What he said. Thank God for what Moses said and Isaiah said and the prophet said and everything else. But that was man, God speaking to mankind, men who had fallen from their dominion, who had lost relationship with God, who were separated and put out of the Garden of Eden, out of the presence of the Lord. So God had to speak to them through them. But boy, like I told you, man, God had written in him to speak to you himself. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And even though they got put out of their place and everything else, man, that don't mean, man, God ain't gonna fulfill what he said. Like I told you, that's the primary law in the kingdom. What? The law of life. What's the law of life? What God said. You see what mankind and the prophet said, he was talking to men, like I told you, about people who were separated from God, who was no longer in the Garden of Eden, who was dead in trespassing and sin, who had fallen not from heaven, but fallen from dominion, fallen from that sovereignty and that sovereign reign that God had gave them. What are you talking about, Arthur? Man, he said, let them have dominion over the earth. I tell you, boy, that Jesus Christ was ruling and reigning over all circumstances, situations, except that confronted his life here on his earth. Why he was doing that? Because he come to show you. He come to show you what God had written a plan and purpose and destiny for your life was. And he is. He come to show you, man, what you can do. How you supposed to talk? How you supposed to walk? How you supposed to act? How you supposed to reign in life? That's why the thing that he said, man, has been, man, you know, buried in the graveyard of religion. What do you say? He say, hey, listen, you see me as I am, so are you. And if you see me, you seen the Father. Because as the Father is, so am I. And then if you see me, then you'd be like me. And you'd be just like me. Then he say, well, because as I am, so are you. What do you say? You seen me, you seen the Father. What? I'm just like the Father. Say, you just like me. As I am, so are you. That's what he was saying. That's what he was preaching. How many messages you heard that? How many times you heard that told to you over and over and over and over and over again? That's the subject matter of all the messages. What? That boy, you created in the image and likeness of the Most High God, that you are the offspring of the Most High God. You are the servants of the sons of the Most High God. You are ambassadors of Christ. You kings and queens, and you mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. Let me tell you something, baby. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing what? The word of God, the word of life. Hallelujah. How many messages you heard about the kingdom? How many messages you heard, man, about how great you are? You know about how many messages you heard about how great our God is, and yes, he's great. And if he created us in his image and likeness, that means you're great too. But how many times you've been heard that and preached that and told that, man? That's why you don't have no faith and confidence in there. Why? Because faith comes by hearing. How many times you've been told, man, that let me tell you something, you don't have to be brokenhearted no more. We all be hearing the message, man, that we brokenhearted, and man, God healed the brokenhearted and everything else. And he embraced the brokenhearted. And he do, but man, he don't embrace the brokenhearted for their brokenhearted to stay broke. He didn't heal the brokenhearted, be embrace him and do that man's work so that, man, you don't have to be brokenhearted no more. For you to continue to be brokenhearted, man, that disgrace of that world. He say, no, he... There's a song, boy, we play here at our house, and I love that song. He say, God, boy, I love the way, Lord, you embrace broken people. Broken people like me. And, boy, that's his name, man, sound good and everything else, but, boy, I'm talking about, boy, he healed the brokenhearted. Why? Not for you to stay brokenhearted. Hey, man, that means you don't have to be brokenhearted no more. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me, man, to preach the gospel to the poor and to heal a brokenhearted, to set the captives free and the recovering of sight to the blind, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. What he was telling me, man, let me tell you, sir, you don't have to be down and out no more. You don't have to be poor, broken, hungry no more. And you ain't got to have a penny in your bank account here on earth, baby. You got treasure in heaven. And boy, that treasure in heaven that you have, man, that's where that scripture come into reality. Well, my God shall supply all my needs. Watch this here. According to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus my Lord. No. I love my myself. So therefore, I don't have to take no thought of what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to drink, how I'm going to make it every day. Why? Because my Father knows that I have need of that. What I'm going to do, I'm going to continue, boy, to seek first the kingdom of God. To seek first, boy, to dwell in that secret place of the Most High God. To seek first, boy, to stay in that invitation, man, and to live in that invitation, man, and to dwell in that place. Because he say, whosoever shall dwell in that place shall abide under the protection of the Almighty. Listen, in that place right there, boy, God is with you and God is for you. In that place right there, you don't worry about nothing, man. I'm on talk. Listen, if God is with you, you know. You got to know this here. That's why you got to grow up in there and hear that and have faith in there, because faith comes by hearing. That's another law in the kingdom, right? The law of faith. How you live this kind of life, man, that you're saying, Arthur, that we just like God and we mighty men and mighty women. How? By another law. What? That's a law of faith. What's faith? Faith in God's word, confidence and trust and belief in what God said. So you've been hearing all the time what man say and what the devil say and what one another say, but you ain't been hearing, man, directly from man what God say. See, you can get some faith by hearing what man say, But when you begin to hear yourself say to you about what God say to you, you get great faith then. When you hear yourself speak the word of God to your life. When you begin to speak the word of God in into your life. See, when we speak the word of God to your life, you know, they faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And that's like mustard seed faith. But if he wants some great faith, when you begin to hear yourself speak the word of God into your life. And boy, the way you can get to hear yourself speak the word of God into your life, that's from his presence. When God speaks to you himself, he got to first speak to you first. And then when he speaks to you, boy, you come out of there saying just what he said. Hello. You start to say what he say about you. But you got to hear him say to you that you are a mighty man and you are a mighty woman. You got to hear him say that you are a king and a queen. That's a ruler. He didn't say you're a servant. He said you're a ruler. You got to hear him say you no longer servants, but sons of God. And if sons of God, heirs of God, you got to hear him say that you have an inheritance and that your inheritance is all of the kingdom of heaven. All of God and all that God had to consist of as his son, the Holy Spirit, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What they heirs of? All of the kingdom of heaven. Your inheritance. you are heir of God and a joint heir with Christ Jesus. That means you have an inheritance. What's your inheritance? Come, you who are blessed of your Father, and get your inheritance. Matthew chapter 24, verse 24-35, something happened there. You read it fine for yourself. All you got to do is say, Google what else that way. Say, man, all of the kingdom of heaven is my inheritance. You need to pull the chair, you tell you right there. What do you say, man? Come, you who are blessed of your Father, and get your inheritance. What? All of the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. See, God standing in the congregation of the mighty. That's why I call you mighty men and mighty women. But in order for you to have faith in that and live by faith, man, you got to hear that. You got to be preached that, man. You got to be told that, man, over and over and over and over. You got to be told that all the time. You got to hear that all the time. Just like what you've been hearing all the time, you got faith and confidence in that, what? That when you all get to heaven, everything going to be all right. Yeah, it is going to be all right. But boy, I'm talking about, man, there's another word that God said is, he all right now. You ain't got to wait till you get to heaven. You say, I'm going to bring heaven to you. And you can come into that place right now. You can begin to live your life in that place right now. You can begin to live your life in the presence of the Most High God right now and begin to grow up, man, from that place. And, man, you'll grow up to be the mighty men and mighty women of God that we are. But it's only from that place. And that's the message of the Bible. Well, hey, boys, at that place, man, is available to us, and we can come into that place. And then after coming into that place and dwelling in that place and living from that place, then, boy, we do, man, boy, the last stage of what the message of the Bible is all about was that the reestablishment program of God of that place. What we do then, hey, we come out of that place, man, and we go and tell the world about that place. We go preach publicly. That's what preach means, to publicly declare a message. The same thing they do in the advertising. When you see an advertisement, what they're doing is preaching. What they're doing, they publicly declaring a message. And watch what the message, what they're doing, and what the purpose for the advertising is. They want the consumer to get a product that they have. Hallelujah. So they come on there, man, and they tell the people, man, about their product, man, and everything else. For what purpose? So that the consumer can get their product. They publicly declaring a message about their product. What they publicly declaring a message about their product. For what purpose? So that the consumer can get the product. Boy, when you come out of that place, boy, you go and start advertising. You go start preaching, right, about the product. What's the product? Their place. And all that it consists of, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the presence of the Lord, the Garden of Eden, the ark of safety, the promised land, the presence of the Lord, the kingdom of heaven, Go and publicly declare the product. Listen, I'm going to say something here, and I don't know how it's going to go over, but it's still the word of God. Hey, Jesus is not the product. Jesus is the way to the product. He's the provider of the product. He bought the product. He bought the product to us. He's the door. He's the way to the product. He's the truth about the product. He's the life of the product. And he wasn't coming in and telling the world men about the door and about him and everything else that was contained in it, but he was coming and telling the world about the product. He come preaching, man, all that the kingdom of heaven is available to you. Is here now. And the prophecy about the prophet, what the prophet prophesied, and the law that God gave the children of Israel to Moses, boy, the fulfillment of all that is here now. I come to fulfill the law that God gave the children of Israel, man, through Moses. I come to fulfill the prophecy that the prophesied was saying, man, there's coming a king. Well, who was prophesying, man, what God had originally prophesied in Genesis chapter 3, after mankind, man, after God lost his family, man, and his kingdom on the earth. He promised him something that, boy, I'm coming myself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That was the original prophecy of the coming of the Messiah. He said, that seed of the woman, baby, and he going to bruise your head. In other words, boy, that was the original prophecy, man, of the coming Messiah. But Jesus Christ, man, comes saying, man, let me tell you something. I ain't come to do away with all that and tell you you don't have to observe all that. And I come in and let you know, boy, that you can fulfill all of that. Why? For in me, well, from that place. The only way you can fulfill that, man, is in me from that place. So I come in and restore you back to where you can be in me. Hallelujah. So that you can be restored back to that place. Lord, praise the Lord. That's what the cross was all about. That's cleansed us up. Hallelujah. Because we can't come into that place because we were dead and trespassing and sin. So that's why God took care of that. That's the love of God. He loved us while, even while we were yet in our sin. He hung, bled, and died. Right. Cleansed us up. For what purpose, Arthur? For this reason, for this main purpose right here. So that, boy, you, the Holy Spirit can come live back on the inside of us like he was on the inside of Adam, boy, and Eve in the garden, man, before they fell. Just like he was in Christ Jesus, fullness of it. That's what empowered Jesus Christ to do all the things that he did. He never attributed none of those mighty works to himself. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to heal a broken heart and to preach the gospel to the poor and to set at liberty all those who are bound, recover the sight to the blind, to set all the captives free, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. What's the acceptable year of the Lord? Maybe you can come on home. You can come on back into that place. Well, the Holy Spirit can once again not live around you and among you, but can once again come take up residence on the inside of you, in you. That divine connection, man, between heaven and earth, and that divine connection between God and mankind, that was through the Holy Spirit, and that divine connection, man, can be reconnected. Hallelujah. So I cleanse you up so that the Holy Spirit can come once again and dwell on the inside of you, like it was in Adam and Eve, man, in the garden, like it was in Jesus Christ. He can't come live in no unclean temples. That's what Calvary was. That's the purpose for the cross and all the Calvary, his death and his burial and his resurrection. So for that one purpose right there was so that you can be reconnected back to your power source, the Holy Ghost, who has been the connection, the divine connection between heaven and earth and the divine connection between mankind and God. Without that connection, you don't have no relationship. Without that connection, earth don't have no relationship to heaven, and man don't have no relationship to God. Not personal. Not one-on-one. The good news is, boy, I'm talking about, boy, because of Calvary, then, boy, Jesus Christ did something. Before he lived, his last act was his most important act. Not his coming, and not his death and his burial and his resurrection, but his last act on the earth. What was his last act on the earth? Right before he, man, got ready to go up into heaven, boy, he called his disciples together, and boy, he say he breathed upon them and said this, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. the divine connection. That's the same thing God did with Adam in the garden. The Bible says, and God formed man's body from the dust of the ground, and man and God breathed into man's body the breath of life. What's that, boy? That's the, he released on the inside of that body the spirit of man, the Holy Spirit that was living in the spirit of man into a physical body. In Genesis chapter 3, boy, man, God lost that. Mankind lost that divine connection. Boy, Jesus Christ's last act on the earth, boy, he breathed into them disciples, put his hand on their head and breathed into them, boy, and say, receive ye, receive the Holy Spirit. See me to have. Receive me to have again. You once was full of him in the Adam, but he got disconnected, man. And as a result of you being disconnected, then your life and your world is like it is here today. But now, boy, I'm going to give you the ability, man, to transform this world from what it is here today into what God originally intended for it to be and the way he intended for it to be and his strategy of doing it. Through you, mankind, his family of sons, who are filled with the Holy Spirit. So here, receive ye the Holy Spirit. My death and burial and resurrection, boy, that cleansed you up. That made you righteous again and holy again, boy, for that you can, man, receive the connection again. That's why I say the Holy Spirit is the most important person in the earth today. He's the one, boy, that's going to lead and guide us into the reality of who we are in Christ Jesus, into the reality of what we have in Christ Jesus, into the reality of what we can do in Christ Jesus, into the reality of where we're going to end up at in Christ Jesus. You know where you're going to end up at in Christ Jesus? You're going to end up in heaven on earth. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Just like God originally intended for it to be. And the dwelling place of God, the Bible say, was with the sons of man. What's the dwelling place of God? The dwelling place of God is he dwells in heaven. That's his kingdom. That's his dwelling place. Our Father which art in heaven. And listen to what the Bible say. This is the final destination, Revelation chapter 21. I saw the unholy city, the new Jerusalem. First you say, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And then I saw, boy, all the children of God who had gone up to heaven, man, for the season that they were going to be up there. I saw them coming down to a new earth and a new heaven, a new atmosphere, a new environment. Hallelujah. And they shall reign on the earth. So, yeah. And it was on that new heaven and that new earth. That new earth was, boy, the whole earth was just like the Garden of Eden, filled with the presence of the Lord. Why? Because the Bible says, and the dwelling place of God was with the children of man. What do you say? The dwelling place of God. What's the dwelling place of God? Boy, where God dwells at. Where he dwells at? In heaven. And what do you say? The dwelling place of God, the kingdom of heaven, was with the sons of man. But, boy, it was heaven on earth. It was heaven on earth and that little bitty garden that was just on the earth for a moment on a spot. But in the end, they're going to be, boy, on the whole earth. And not just for no moment, but for all eternity. Forever and ever and ever. What? The dwelling place of God. Heaven. Where? On earth with man. Man living in that place on earth. The whole earth is a colony of hell. Hallelujah. Governed by the royal family of the Most High God. Governed in what, boy? The government of heaven. The ruling authority of heaven. The culture of heaven. The lifestyle of heaven, boy. What's that on the board? That's it. Because I don't know about something. Thing I got beside myself. That's the end. That's the destination. So, boy, if we come to the knowledge of that and get all that restored back to us and let the Holy Spirit breathe on the inside of us as I close this broadcast here and telling you about, boy, understanding the message of the Bible, that the Bible is about a king. It's about, boy, a king. That's a ruling authority. It's about his territory, his kingdom. What he did, his kingdom, man, what king you talking about? I'm talking about the king of kings, our God, our Father in heaven. He's a king. He ain't no prime minister, president, none of that. He's a king. And he have a kingdom. And his kingdom is the kingdom of heaven. And boy, and the Bible not only about this King of Glory, the Lord God Almighty, but it's about His kingdom. What's His kingdom? The kingdom of Him. It's also about man, a royal family. It's about, boy, the creation of mankind. But you're talking about the message of the Bible. It is about, boy, the expansion of God's kingdom. What is it about? It's about a king. It's about His kingdom. What's that? Him. And it's about Him creating a royal family. What's the purpose for the royal family? Because through the royal family, He wants to expand His kingdom to earth. And that's what He did in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. In Genesis chapter 3, boy, He lost His kingdom. And from Genesis chapter 3, all the way, man, you know, through all the Old Testament writings and prophets and teachers and everything else, boy, all the way up until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ was a mean man to which God would regain His kingdom. Because see, when He expanded His kingdom on His earth, in Genesis chapter 3, He lost it. What he established on the earth? He established, boy, heaven on earth. He established his kingdom on earth, His dwelling place on earth, when He planted the Garden of Eden. And the Bible says, and there He placed the man, in that place. And from there, that place, He told the man to be fruitful and multiply and have dominion and kingship and rulership over all the earth. The heaven belonged to me, He said, the earth, I'm going to give to you. That's your territory. Why? Because through you, I'm going to expand, I'm going to extend my governing influence of my territory to your territory. So it can be in your territory just like it is in my territory. That's why I always mention this to you. Why? Because that's how faith comes. And boy, what God's original intent and God's original plan and God's original purpose and destiny for our lives. Hallelujah. And God set that up through His royal family, who was filled with His Spirit. How He got filled with His Spirit? He came down, formed the body from the dust of the ground, and breathed into that body the breath of life. He released the spirit of man that's created in the image and likeness of God, who's filled with the Holy Spirit, the life of God. And then He placed it in that body, and then He took that body, and He didn't get away to that body to wander off into that place. After He did that, that body, who was filled with the family of God, with God's Son and offspring, a spirit being just like God, a little masterpiece, because it's a little piece of the master that's filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He took that species, poor mankind, was that boy? That's a spirit that have a soul that's living in a physical body. And God took it and placed him in that place. God put him in that place. What are you talking about? That's what the kingdom of God is, what God is doing. This is all God doing. I come on this broadcast, boy, let me tell you something. I don't tell you to turn to this chapter and turn to this voice and everything else. But the boy, if you ever listen to these broadcasts, man, in fact, if you ever want to listen to them, man, we'd be more than happy, man, to send them to you free of charge. Don't cost you nothing, boy. Do technology now, man. We can email you the message, man. You can listen to it because you need to listen to it. You need to hear this. You need to hear the gospel of the kingdom. You need to hear the good news, man, so that faith can come. What he did, man, hey, boy, let me tell you something. From Genesis, like I said, as I close, from Genesis chapter 3, boy, all that changed. And all that changed, man, then God's plans changed. But His purpose is going to never change. His plan is His means of accomplishing His purpose. So now, boy, in Genesis chapter 3, His plans changed, but His purpose don't. What His purpose is? For man to be in His image, be in His likeness, and have dominion over the earth, and be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth, make the whole earth just like this little garden. So it might be on earth just like it is in hell. How are you going to do that through? Through His family of sons, through you, through I. But He did, He lost that in Genesis chapter 3. So His plan changed, but His purpose still going to be the same. Even though His plan changed, He's still man proceeding toward His ultimate destination and goal. being born from Genesee chapter 3 all the way through the Bible, all the stories of the Bible, everything else, from Exodus, man, the children of Israel, all the prophets and everything else, all the way up to Moses and the law, all the way up to Jesus Christ, the coming of Jesus Christ, was a means to bore a promise that God made them when they fell. But I promise you, I'm going to restore your life back to this place. I'm going to redeem your life from this destruction. He promised them that in Genesis chapter 3 when he was putting them out of his presence, out of that place. That was his promise to them. I promise you, I'm going to come myself and I'm going to redeem your life. I'm going to purchase you back. And then, right, so I can regain my kingdom. And then I'm going to restore you back to it. And then as I close, boy, this is what the ultimate goal is. He say, now, here's what I need you to do as you come to the knowledge of that. I need you to get back on course toward the destiny, the original destiny that I set for your life. I put you on this earth to establish, man, my kingdom and my culture and my desire and my will on this earth. I lost that. And everything that I've done all the way up, even the redeeming of your life, the death, the burial, the resurrection, even getting the kingdom back, even restoring it back to you, is for this ultimate goal right here, so that it can be reestablished back on the earth. How are you going to get it reestablished back on the earth? The same way I plan to establish it on the earth, through my family of sons, through mankind. How are we going to do that, Lord? The same way Jesus did. Well, and to fix the thing, you know what God said? He sent a word. So how did Jesus begin to do it, man? Nobody, this how he did it. We'll take up on this last week. This is the message next week. This is the message of the Bible, you know, we're talking about and understand the message of the Bible. The way God began to reestablish his original program on his earth was through our example of Jesus. What did Jesus do? Jesus, when he began his earthly ministry and publicly declared, boy, his product to humanity, he went about, man, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Hallelujah. And healing all manner of sickness and disease. What he did, man, he publicly declared this message that I'm telling you. What he preached to them, he preached to them the kingdom of God. And this kingdom of God, which is the kingdom of heaven, he preached the gospel about it. He didn't just preach the kingdom of heaven. He preached a gospel about it. What you mean? A good news about it. What's the good news about it? That place, man, has come back to you. I come to bring that back to you. That's the government that I got up on my shoulder that the prophets prophesied about, that the Messiah is coming and a government shall be up on his shoulder. And of his kingdom, there shall be no end. And he shall establish his kingdom. And of that kingdom, there shall be no end. That's what I come with on my shoulder. The governing rule of God back to the earth. The kingdom of God back to the earth. I come to bring it back to you, to regain it and to restore it back to you. And then equip you with the last act that I'm going to perform when he breathes into his body, the breath of life, so that you can get back on course to your original man's assignment. What would that boy? To boy establish God's governing influence of his territory and your territory. How? Through coming through in the presence of the Most High God and living your life from there. And from that place, boy, you go out, man, and you proclaim that message. What? To the world. What? That all of the kingdom of hell is within your reach. Is at your hand. What the church do then? That's the church. What they do then? Now they go preach the gospel of the kingdom. They don't preach no other message. When Jesus sent the 12 disciples out, he told them this. As I close, he said, go to the lost sheep of Israel. See, most people on this radio broadcast, they're saved people. The world don't listen to Christian radio too much, man. They listen to secular music and everything else, and Facebook and everything. If you're on this broadcast, man, it's an indication that your heart is already tending toward God. He said, go to the lost sheep of Israel, man, and preach this message. Man. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, and heal the sick and cast out devils. He said this, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a testimony to every nation. And then they ain't going to come. What's God's design? What's God's strategy and plan, man, to reestablish his kingdom back on the earth? Through the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Hey, listen, I love y'all with the love of the Lord. Hey, we're going to continue this. Understanding the message of the Bible. I thought it was going to be a three-part series, but it might have to go on. That's the third part. If you'd like a copy of our broadcasts and everything else, hey, you can contact us at our ministry, Kingdom Life Fellowship Outreach Ministry. Phone number is 713-870-3776. And we'll email your copy of it, no charge to you. I'll get it to you however best for you through technology. Again, that number is 713-870-3776. God bless you, Bill and I, my family, children, we love you to the love of God. And pray God's best for your life. God bless you.